Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 629. We're talking about the dynamics of communication based on a shir for Rabbi Nachum Diamond, and there are four elements to it. The first one was how to talk. In the last shir, we started to talk about that, to properly express yourself with sensitivity. And then we started to talk about how the communication styles between a husband and wife is different based on their dominant trait, and that a wife generally is more emotional and a husband is more intellectual. And we gave some examples of that. So another example of generally how they are is when a group of women are sitting around a table, let's say at a wedding, they'll notice and compliment and talk about each other's clothing and their sheitlach and their shoes and their pocketbooks and prices and where you could get the best buys on items, or if they're with the children, child rearing and managing homes, and they receive from each other useful information, sometimes recipes, and it's all to make the conversation to nurture the relationship between them. But when men are sitting together by simcha, they usually don't say things, oh, nice suit, you know, your tie and your suit matches, is it silk, is it cotton, polyester, is this the borsalino you're wearing, and this and that, your ribbon. Generally speaking, they won't pay attention to their shoes, generally speaking. You have some, you know, that are into this, maybe they will, but generally speaking, they don't. If you're in Kaili, they'll probably talk Torah with each other. Working men will talk about their jobs with each other. In the high-tech world, they may discuss computers and tablets, or they may discuss political things, whatever it may be. It's totally different. If there's a robbery, as an example, the wife will be more concerned about the unfortunate victim, you know, how sad it is. And the husband will try to figure out how the thief was able to do this without getting caught by the police, or how they were caught by the police. You know, their minds work differently these ways. You know, when they want to share their feelings, when they come back from a weekend vacation, the wife will talk about the serenity, how they enjoyed the beautiful landscapes and the birds and this and that. And the husbands will maybe, you know, we rented an SUV and had great electronic gadgets, and he'll talk about that. So here's an example. It's interesting. Between men, how they usually talk. So this is what he says, is an anecdote. For months, two men play tennis together every Sunday. Their wives, who never met, suggested they have a barbecue together after their game one week so they could get acquainted with each other. During the meal, the wives spoke about their families, and the wife mentioned her son, who was hospitalized with a chronic illness. So as one of the couples were driving home, the wife asked her husband, "Jeff, how come you never told me about Mike's sick child?" And Jeff innocently answered, "I never knew he had children." So the question is, why didn't Mike tell Jeff about his child? For the reason he didn't ask, because it was irrelevant to the purpose of their get-together. They were getting together to play tennis, for exercise, for relaxation. They weren't into the bonding thing. Women in these situations, even if they get together and let's play tennis together as an example, they'll use that recreation time to form a relationship, to socialize, to get to know each other, to get to know about their families with each other. That's why you have very often two men could be learning b'chavrusas with each other in yeshiva, and they won't know anything about each other's family situation. I'm not saying that's right, actually. Actually, that's not the right way to do it. When you have a chavrusa and you're learning for so many months, maybe during Seder, yes, you want to stick to the learning and not be mevatel Torah and so on. But it's missing an element if you don't care about the person and want to know how they are as a personal human being. So that's not a healthy thing to take it to that extreme. The idea also of how men and women react differently is when they confront each other's problems. So here's an example of where there could be a conflict between the male response to the wife's complaints. Bracha came home exhausted from a long day and expressed her frustration to her husband. "Yitzi, my job is very taxing on me. When I come home, I'm so exhausted. I have no energy for myself or the family." Yitzi replies very tersely and abruptly, "So quit your job and find something less taxing that will allow you to have more time for yourself." But Bracha answers back, "But I like my job. It's just very demanding right now, but I like my job." And he answers without sensitivity, "Just do whatever you can." So here, the man here is missing the whole point of it. It's obvious that Bracha, the wife, had no intention of quitting her job. All she wanted from her husband is a listening ear. She wants to share her feelings of that she had a hard day and wants to feel understood. Her husband, on the other hand, Yitzi, thinks logically. So instead of using empathy with his wife, he puts on his fix-it hat, let's try to fix your dilemma, and he realized nothing could be done to fix the dilemma now, so there's no point in worrying about it, there's no point in talking about it, just do what you got to do. You know, so he's not a bad guy, he's not trying to be insensitive, but this is the logical mode that he's in. And that's why it's so important for the husband to develop that empathy aspects of it. So, but for example, if Yitzi himself is having difficulty with his job, for the most part, he'll ask advice. He wouldn't be into the empathy thing. Sometimes he will. Everyone's different, and so on and so forth. Same idea. Here's another example he gives. Bracha says, "Oy gevalt, I forgot to call my sick aunt today." And Yitzi replies tersely, "Don't worry, she'll understand." And Bracha, in an emotional tone, says, "But she's all alone, yet we have no idea what that means and what she's going through." And he loses his patience. "Don't worry so much, and you'll be a happier person." Again, they're miscuing with each other. They're both frustrated with each other. They're disappointed with each other. Why? She, Bracha, is frustrated that Yitzi isn't empathizing with her. And Yitzi is equally frustrated because his attempts to try to alleviate his wife's frustrations are not working. He's not trying to be insensitive here. But again, he has to develop that empathy aspects of it, understanding her nature, and to become wise about it and respond to his wife's frustration by saying, in the previous case, like, "It looks like, oh yeah, I feel bad. You had a very hard day today. I would feel the same way if I would be in your situation." And then her response would probably be then, "Thank you so much for understanding." And she's happy by him listening and empathizing with her. And she feels better already with that. And they would enjoy their evening together. They would have such beautiful shalom bayis. A lot of times the way a communication modes sort of flip with each other with this way. So the husband definitely should try to offer solutions to his wife's problems, but not when she's very upset. When she's upset, when she's troubled, first comfort her. First listen. Have her feel that and really believe and that it is the truth, that she's being heard and she's being understood, the empathy. And later in the conversation, when she feels a little better, that's when you bring about the practical advice pertaining to it. The same thing goes the other way around. Just like the husband has to connect to the emotional, empathetic aspects for his wife, a wife, to communicate with a husband, if he's that logical type, he needs to empathize, yes, but also listen intently and try to offer logical solutions, speak in his language, so to speak. You have this very often also when a wife wants to save her husband from making a wrong decision. He brings down here the famous Medrash by Oyn Ben Peles, the wife of Oyn Ben Peles, who heard that her husband was going to join Kairach in his uprising against Moshe Rabbeinu. And she presented a winning argument that saved him from being destroyed. She reasoned with him. The winner of this dispute, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu or whether it's Kairach, whatever the outcome is, you'll still remain the Talmud of that winner. So why get involved? And it resonated with Oyn. And his wife succeeded in keeping him away from Kairach's recruiting agents that tried to push him into the Machlokes and saved his life. So she used the logic there. If she used emotional things, "Are you crazy? How dare you fight against Moshe Rabbeinu? What's wrong with you?" then he probably would have defensively disregarded her cries, overreacted to the situation, "Just calm down, I know what I'm doing." But so she was smarter and she held back on the emotional aspects and used a very logical and convincing argument to convince him to reconsider. So here's an example of some things that wives could use to utilize that logical aspects when speaking to her husband. Avi wants to purchase a duplicate item for the house, let's say an extra folding table. So instead of her getting all excited and saying, "What are you spending or wasting my hard-earned money on something we don't need?" she can calmly say, "I think we have enough folding tables. Maybe we could use the money for something more important," something like that. Or "There's a leaky faucet. And, in order to save the cost of a plumber or whatever it is to fix the faucet," he calls a friend, gives him advice, and he's with the tools, and he's all excited about how he's going to fix it. And he's fiddling around with it, with the washers and this and that. And she could burst out and say, what are you fiddling around? Last time you tried to repair electric socket yourself or plumbing, we got a marble in the house or a short in the electricity, and it cost a fortune. Instead, tone that down and say, let's call that plumber. Let's call that electrician. They'll repair it in a minute, and it'll save us a lot of time and money. That's the idea. Or let's say, that he's using his finger to swipe off icing off a cake on Shabbos. Instead of yelling how disgusting you are with your manners and so on and so forth, she could quietly say, this is not a good example for the children, and take a fork and plate and I'll give it to you and eat it that way, in a calm way. So the idea being, generally speaking, and again, it could go the other way around too, where the husband is more the emotional type and the wife is more the logical type. But the idea being is, and if they're both emotional, they're both logical, they have to like adapt to using both modes in the right balance. But the idea is, in the stereotypical case, in order for a couple to achieve proper communication, the husband needs to learn the art of speaking his wife's emotions the right way. And the wife must learn logically to assist her husband without overreacting. So this is an idea, what we just gave today, and next year we're going to talk about part two of the communication, which is how to listen. But right now we just finished the first one of how to talk. It's very important, the idea between logic and emotion overall. We're human beings. We're meant to use emotions. It's very, very valuable. And we're meant to use our logic. That's very valuable as well. And we use emunah and bitachon for things we don't understand. And we communicate with each other that way, to think about what Hashem wants in every given moment. There's Ahava, there's Yira, and so on and so forth. So the idea being is that marriage is a beautiful opportunity, if you look at it this way, to develop your character, to access those healthy parts of you in the best possible way, and it's a practice ground for it. Not to get discouraged when there's bumps in the road or when something doesn't go well in any particular moment. You just bounce back and you do your best to try, to try again and to work in it on it the right way. But this idea of when you're over emotional to tone it down with some logic, and when you're over logical to develop that empathy, is very, very important. And a husband and wife need to learn each other's language and work with each other on when to use that logic, when to use that empathy, when to use that combination of both, side between each other and side between, when they're interacting with their children, and in all challenges and opportunities in life, to know how to access both of them in the right way, in a healthy way. And again, I believe, like I said this many, many times, this all goes back to the original bracha that we ask, Atachoyne Ladam Das, in Shemoneh Esrei. They ask Hashem for wisdom. The wisdom is part of this, is this wisdom. You ask Hashem to help you know how to regulate your emotions the right way, in the most healthy way, in the best way possible. Bracha v'atzlacha.